Welcome to Conversations on Big Data, a series of discussions with agency leaders about the power of analytics to enhance how federal agencies meet their mission. In this podcast, we'll be discussing the HUDSTAT program at the Department of Housing and Urban Development and the use of analytics at the Office of Management and Budget.
Welcome. I'm Laura Shane, Vice President for Research and Communications at the Partnership for Public Service and one of your hosts for today's podcast. I'm sharing that duty with Brian Murrow, Associate Partner of Strategy and Analytics at IBM. Today, we have the privilege of speaking with Lisa Danzig, Associate Director for Personnel and Performance at the Office of Management and Budget.
Lisa, what is HUDSTAT and why was it started?
HUDSTAT is a quarterly meeting that the Secretary of HUD chairs to review progress on priority goals. I had worked with the Secretary in the New York City Housing Agency, and we'd run similar meetings looking at data to try and determine what progress we're making and where we need to make adjustments. When we arrived at HUD, we wanted to scale that process and basically created something similar. And at the same time, the Government Performance and Results Act was modernized in 2010, and we took advantage of that as an opportunity to use the agency priority goals to review those goals within the HUDSTAT context. So in October of 2010, we started these meetings, and for each one of the four goals, we had a quarterly discussion with the Secretary where we looked at data, we convened all the players around a big circular table, and had a very structured conversation around how well we were doing to achieve those goals and what we could do to get there more effectively.
What did you guys learn?
The biggest change relates to how you do business. When you're running a program, there's a lot of momentum to focus on doing it how you used to do it. And there's not a lot of opportunity to step back and say, are we doing the right things? Is this having the impact we're looking for? What is the impact we're looking for? So I think the principal change was really focusing on an explicit set of goals which had metrics associated with it or targets. So when we're thinking about how effective are our homeless programs, we're really focused on how whether or not we're actually ending homelessness, which is our goal in 2016. The second is, I think, it gave us some specific ways to measure whether or not we were achieving that goal. So it forced us to really reevaluate if we're trying to serve 200,000 more families with rental assistance, how are we actually measuring that? What are the levers we're using, and how can we evaluate whether or not we're being effective?
And when you mentioned the families seeking rental assistance, how did your analytics program kind of modify or change your strategy on that?
So we had 22 different programs that support affordable rental housing. And when the Secretary asked the question, if I want to serve more families, how do we know if we've served more? There was no common definition of how we are measuring that across these 22 different programs. So the first step was to say, what is an occupied rental unit? And that by itself was also a big step. I think the HUD had perceived its role as creating the unit, but not really taking it to the next step in terms of what the actual household living in the unit was. Since we didn't have control over that, those were landlords that had. It was changing the conversation from individual programs to these kind of collective 22 programs. And then second, it was saying our responsibility doesn't stop at the creation of the unit or whether or not we're using our budget to create units. It stops at whether or not someone actually gets into that unit. In public housing, for example, we had an 89% occupancy rate, which was pretty high and pretty good. But over the course of 2 years, we increased that to 97% occupancy rate because people were asking different questions. It wasn't just, does the unit exist? It was, how quickly does after one family moves out, and does another move in? And it quite directly then improved the rate of occupancy and then the number of families using the same level of resources that we could serve.
How did analytics help with veterans housing?
I don't know how much you use the term logic model, but the inputs and outputs and outcomes really aligned well. And I think this process helped facilitate the relationship with the VA, which was really integral to making this work. So the VA has responsibility on the front end for recruiting veterans into the program. And there are a couple different programs that support the veterans' homelessness goal. But one of them, called HUD-VASH, relates to vouchers that then HUD provides that give veterans an opportunity to live in a supportive housing environment at a very reduced cost. So the VA medical centers, you know, all across the country had responsibility for working with continuums of care or other nonprofit organizations to recruit veterans to participate and determine eligibility. And then they would be referred to the public housing authorities to assess whether or not they actually were eligible for these vouchers. And then there was a placement portion. So there was a real hand-in-hand collaboration there with the VA. the data was relevant. How many veterans are you recruiting on the front end? What portion of them actually make it through the first stage versus the second stage to getting housed, to actually staying in the unit? So analyzing those numbers across different sites, looking at averages, looking at the time it takes to do that, and the back end, looking at evidence around the exit studies and what were the reasons people were leaving. A big part of it was the portion of veterans that were chronically homeless. So it may be easier to house veterans who don't have some of the chronic homelessness issues. So we set specific targets around the chronic homeless and then isolated sites where we weren't meeting that target and had specific conversations around what were the really philosophical differences about housing first or ways that people approach the challenge that were limiting the ability to attract chronic or were overburdening the system because chronic may be harder to house. So I was looking at the data, I think, from every angle to try and refine it and make it more effective.
What did all that add up to, and what changed as a result of this?
It helped us target, so we could see where are the most veterans, where's the problem the biggest, and looked at Las Vegas and Los Angeles, for example, as places where the problem was most pronounced. I actually ended up going to Los Angeles to look at, because some of the data was revealing some differences between the county and the city and the public housing authorities and the rates of success. There were conversations with the people on the ground there about what some of those challenges were. And some basics, like the county program, was hard for people to get to, so they weren't able to access the services as easily.
How did you work with banks on sharing best practices?
The goal there was to try and keep people in their homes during the foreclosure crisis who could sustain some payment. And we worked with servicers who had FHA loans to try and apply loss mitigation actions, which could change the interest rate or change some dimension of the loan so that the person could get some reprieve for some period of time and ultimately potentially restructure the loan altogether so they could stay in their homes. And there were three main servicers that we worked with that had the majority of the business and established a set of metrics and kind of scorecard for how well they were doing. Once we started doing this and sharing with this small group of peers of servicers, that they actually kind of looked at, you know, well, Wells Fargo is doing a pretty good job on their redefault rate. Seems like we could maybe be doing better. And it spawned, I think, more creative thinking around trial programs and ways to support this goal that wasn't just doing business as usual, but had some kind of benchmark standard given that the collective group of servicers was doing this. And improved results then in terms of the number of people helped. It really was create benchmark data. And I think kind of the oldest trick in the book around peer pressure, that nobody wants to be outdone by their peers.
This has been a conversation with Lisa Danzig, Associate Director for Personnel and Performance at the Office of Management and Budget. I'm Brian Murrow from IBM, here with Laura Shane from the Partnership for Public Service. We invite you to return for the next two podcasts in this series on using data for decision-making at OMB and HUD.
These podcasts are presented by the Partnership for Public Service and the IBM Center for the Business of Government. To listen to conversations with other agency leaders, visit ourpublicservice.org/bigdata.